You're listening to the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. I'm Duduzile Ramela. As we approach 6:30, let's take you here. Finance Minister Tito Mboweni is set to deliver the medium-term budget policy statement tomorrow, albeit a week later than expected. Expectations are nonetheless very high. We explore some of them now. I'm joined by Sanisha Pakrisami, economist with Momentum Securities, and David French, a tax consultant director at Mazars. I beg your pardon. A very good evening to both our guests. Sanisha, let me start with you. So we have not seen a decline in government spending and revenue has been stagnating. How do we close the gap between spending and contracting revenue?
Thanks, Dudu, and hello to your listeners as well as to David. Those jaws between the revenue and expenditure line need to predominantly close from the expenditure side, in my view. I think on the revenue side, we know that the consumer is quite stretched and it's quite difficult at this point to really institute any new form of taxes. At the margin, there could potentially be some announcement around a form of solidarity wealth tax in the making. But by and large, I think we are at a point where having additional taxes come through could actually have a negative effect on total revenue collections overall. However, on the expenditure side, we know that some substantial cuts have to come through, and that includes the burgeoning government wage bill, which is still going to be decided upon later on this year, given that another court ruling has to come through in December.
And let's just pick up on what Sanisha is saying, David, in terms of the government wage bill. Some really tough decisions will have to be taken, right, where that is concerned, as well as the bailing out of state-owned entities. Some saying this is not sustainable. What are your expectations there?
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me and for everyone. I'm fully in agreement with Sanisha with regard to there's very little room to increase taxes of any sort. And so we need to look at that expenditure side and cut. Just don't know where. One of the interesting things about cutting the government wage bill is we're also still saying we need the stimulation in the economy. So maybe if we cut that and we still find the money to spend on other areas like the infrastructure development we're hearing about in order to try and stimulate the economy, maybe that'll help. But I just don't know where we're going to get it at the moment. That's our big problem in life. We're looking, the minister cut back the target by 300 billion rand, and it's a hole that just needs filling.
Sanisha, what about the ability to supplement pro-poor spending?
So I think there is quite a big stand for something like a basic income grant. And it is very evident that throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, the pressure on more vulnerable households was really alleviated when we had a top-up grant coming through. So I think there's definitely support for that. There are a number of surveys suggesting, you know, some popular support for something like a basic income grant or for an extension of the top-up grants. Of course, this money has to come from somewhere, and that means that we would have to reprioritize even more funding within the budget. And I fear that we may have to, you know, scale back on things like infrastructure, the very thing that David has mentioned that we need to actually ramp up in the next couple of years in order to really kickstart trend growth again. But we are at a point in the budgetary cycle where we cannot have expenditures without actually reprioritizing other expenditures within the budget. So we need to do it from a fiscally neutral point of view, which is becoming more and more difficult as less and less fat is available to cut away.
David, where will the money come from? That's the big question, right? So what does this ultimately mean for you and I?
Okay. This is where I leave the realm of tax and my income tax acting things, and I get into politics. We have a tax base. The tax base has been eroded by various mechanisms, let's call it. COVID has been one of them, and the decrease in the economy. We haven't seen the economic growth that's been projected, Treasury every year. And that tax base, and the third part for me is a tax morality. We need to rebuild that base. Unfortunately, it's a more long-term view than a short-term. But we have to rebuild it. And we can't extract any more, as far as I'm concerned, from it. So we have to do that building and show the taxpayer and the investor that they can do things properly, that they can cut back on the fruitless and wasteful, that they can cut back on the graft, and give us the confidence that that tax base will grow again, that we'll start getting the economic growth from investment and from spending.
Mm. I'm not sure if it's Haridas that are joining us there,
yes,
in the background, but
it's
okay. If that's where the network is, we'll take it. So, Nisha, what of the thought, you know, some people arguing that perhaps Treasury's commitment to austerity is irrational. Is there something to be said about that argument?
I think we have to realize that austerity in this case is going to be balanced with a more poor growth outcome. So if we're even going to engage on something like structural reforms, there are always winners and losers embarking on a structural reform program, particularly if we're in a weak growth environment. But we are at that stage where there's going to be very little fiscal support to help the losers within that. And as a result, we have to make some very tough decisions. But these decisions are taking into account the trajectory for longer-term economic growth. And often some shorter-term pain has to be endured in order to achieve much higher levels of longer-term growth in South Africa that's built on a more sustainable basis.
David, national debt projected to get it over 80% of GDP. Can we get a handle over it?
The only way I see that happening is if we keep the minister on as minister and don't go doing anything rash by firing him. We've got two ways of funding, that is through the tax base or through borrowing. He's projected what, ₹4 trillion of debts. We need to borrow as much as we can, but be careful of just going out and saying, I need more just for. I need to be very specific about what it is. I think the minister has been sharpening his pencil over the last few months since the extraordinary budget speech, and trying to find where he can get it at least cost, because we need to stop that gap. But we have to be so careful of that, because we are on the brink of that debt trap, where particularly our interest costs are just going to be way too much. We can't afford to repay it. Mm. So he's got to be very careful, very hard on how we borrow.
So Nisha, so according to a Bloomberg article published this afternoon, the World Bank saying that unless we, you know, cut the wage bill, we won't be able to qualify for a $2 billion loan. But this is just a rumor, according to this article as well. What could this potentially mean if it were to be true?
So, Dudu, in my view, it's not a train smash if we don't get the World Bank loan. We do still have other avenues that we could achieve some revenue intake, such as the euro bond issuance for this fiscal year. So that could be a potential additional avenue if we don't, in fact, meet the requirements of the World Bank loan at this stage. And we know that the rest of the financing, of course, has been made up from the IMF in terms of the emergency funding that we received, the $4.3 billion. Some of it has also come through from the National Development Bank. That was about $1 billion. And we also got a bit from the African Development Bank, which was around $0.3 billion. So that remaining $2 billion from the World Bank could, in fact, be mopped up by additional Eurobond issuance.
David, just perhaps in closing up the conversation, one thing that you really look forward to tomorrow?
Good question. We don't normally get any substantive tax policy changes. I'm looking forward to the minister not changing that tradition and going, here's a whole new tax on new people because we need to raise funds. Because I think if he does do that, it's a disaster. So my looking forward is a very plain, from a tax policy point of view, budget medium-term statement.
Sanisha, I'd like to get your thought on the Economic Recovery Action Plan that was presented by President Cyril Ramaphosa, getting into conversation with Dr. Padile Hohla, who found some glaring inconsistencies where that plan is concerned. The finance minister has to find the money for some of these plans that we talk about in the Economic Recovery Action Plan. What did you make of it?
Well, I think there were some positives, Dudu, coming out from that plan. I mean, the first big positive is that it was a show of a major social compact that has been formed between business, labor, civil society, and government more broadly. And if we look at some of the elements within this economic plan, it does suggest that we're trying to redirect the original radical narrative that was originally attached to transforming the economy. So that, I think, is quite positive from a market perspective. You know, it does highlight that we urgently need action to drive this economic recovery forward. The negatives thereof, or the concerns that I have around the plan, is that some of the implementation timelines do appear to be quite tight, and we are still, you know, in the dark as to whether progress on this plan will be transparent and whether there will be accountability taken if any of these deadlines are in fact missed. So, you know, I think there are some positive elements around the, you know, the rebuilding of the capacity at the South African Revenue Services. You know, there's more efforts in the tourism industry. They are forging ahead with publishing a critical skills list and so forth, trying to improve the ease of doing business. These are all viewed as market-friendly structural reforms, but the proof, again, is in the pudding as to whether we will be able to achieve some of these on the depicted timelines that are being put forward in the plan.
Absolutely. Your one expectation for tomorrow?
I'm looking forward to hearing what's going to happen with the state-owned enterprises. In my view, I think what would be quite positive is if any of the additional funds that are being doled out to the ailing state-owned enterprises come through in a fiscally neutral manner. If these are just additional funds and it's not reprioritized from other areas of the budget that are not critical to growth, I would then see that as quite a big negative.
A big thank you to both our guests, Sanisha Pakrisamy, economist with Momentum Securities, and David French, tax consulting director at Mazars.